So this week, at our monthly staff meeting, Anthony, Anna, Sam, and I had a lot of heavy material to discuss about new workplace violence prevention laws and emergency preparedness plans. And by the end of the meeting, the energy in the room was palpable. It was heavy and low. And it wasn't the kind of subject that all of us as spiritual facilitators really wanted to talk about, but we had to. So rather than end our meeting feeling down and disconnected, I turned to our wonderful staff and I invited them to share something that made them laugh, to invite joy into our midst. Well, Anna jumped right in with her adorable new dog, Frosty. And if you haven't met Frosty, you've got something to look forward to. Frosty was perched behind her neck, his white hair blending in with hers. And she proceeded to ask us whether we were familiar with salsa dancing. Well, you know me. I love salsa dancing. But then she asked us if we knew about guacamole dancing. And an instant, she had us all giggling just like you, which only grew when she showed us a Dr. Jean video of the guacamole dance with "Peel the avocado, peel the avocado" as the lyrics. You've got to look it up. It's really funny. And within moments, we were laughing out loud, weren't we, Anthony? And then Sam asked us if we knew about Miss Piggy's finger twirling dance. Apparently goes something like this. And then she proceeded to demonstrate it, and quickly the hilarity grew. And then, not to be left out, I shared about prancercise. Have any of you heard about prancercise? Well, it's where an elderly woman and a young man in separate videos prance through the forest like Lipizzana horses, extolling the benefits of this elite exercise, is what they say. And they literally are like this through the forest. So by this time, we were like virtually rolling around on the floor with tears of joy running down our faces. And then the energy in the room had shifted entirely. And we were joyful and connected again, weren't we, Anthony? No, you don't want to know. You'll have to speak to him privately for that. And I remembered, when times are tough, we can intentionally choose joy. We can choose to shift the energy from struggle, from pain and difficulty, to something more life-giving. Indeed, not only can we choose joy, but we can actively invite joy into our every moment through practicing gratitude, by being really present, by watching silly videos, and by finding humor in the most ordinary things. Brené Brown says, "We're a nation hungry for more joy because we're starving from a lack of gratitude." And gratitude, my friends, is a practice that can help us appreciate all the good we already have in the moment, looking for the tiniest upsides in our life, and thereby unlock happiness and joy. And I try to say gratitudes every night before I go to sleep and when I wake up the next morning, because it's a gift to be alive, isn't it? To have another day on this beautiful planet with each other. And joy is also becoming a choice for this country in the political arena in these days. Has anyone noticed that? During polarized, painful, and angry times, we can choose to be joyous. We can choose to laugh, to act with joy, and envision a positive future. We can choose to work to uplift one another rather than tear each other down. Choose to practice joy rather than hate. Who's up for that? Yes. The great mythologist Joseph Campbell said, "We cannot cure the world of sorrows, but we can choose to live in joy." And we painted it on the wall for you this week, especially to remind you. And joy is also hidden throughout Mary Oliver's poems as well. In her poem, Mindful, she says, "Every every day I see or hear something that more or less kills me with delight, that leaves me like a needle in a haystack of light. It was what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclamation. Nor am I talking about the exceptional, the fearful, the dreadful, the very extravagant, but of the ordinary, the common, the very drab, the daily presentations. Oh, good scholar, I say to myself, how can you help but grow wise with such teachings as these? The untrimmable light of the world, the ocean's shine, and the prayers that are made out of grass. Mary Oliver. My friends, as we know, what we focus on in our lives grows. So if we turn our attention only to what's difficult or get mired in struggle, we may miss Mary Oliver's untrimmable light of the world and the ocean's shine. But how can we make that shift to joy during difficult times when so many people and our planet are struggling, you may wonder? I was certainly thinking about that a lot this week, when people are being murdered in schools and wars abound, when others are starving or suffering the effects of natural disasters. How can we allow ourselves to feel joy? And it's true, life is unbearably hard right now for so many. And although I invite us to feel deep compassion and do everything we can in our power to end suffering, we don't serve those who are struggling by feeling guilty about finding joy even amid hard times. Laughter, delight, kindness, wonder, and celebration are vital counterbalances when life is challenging. And I learn that and continue to learn that from those who've suffered tremendously, who nevertheless seem to be able to conjure up joy no matter what they're going through. Look at the incredible music, songs, and dances that are part of African-American culture that celebrate life despite all that African-Americans have had to endure over the last 400 years. Think of the melodies, the rhythmic and joyful music to come out of Jewish culture. Look at the humor that is born from our darkest times that can help us make it through. Growing up in England, where the mood and the weather is often dark and depressing, right? I remember how renowned the English are at finding humor amid their difficulties, right, Robert? Finding joy has been a way of coping, of counterbalancing the oppression that many have dealt with for centuries. Inviting joy is the medicine for troubled times. Choosing joy gives us strength, gives us the energy, and the courage to carry on. Even during our most mundane or difficult times, joy can linger just below the surface, waiting for an invitation to hitch a ride in the next poem, dance, song, sunset, or art that we come across. But it's also around us in every moment if we remember to look. It can be accessed in our relationships, through our bodies, in nature, in play, and laughing with children and one another. It's hiding in our day-to-day, in a piece of chocolate, right? Or a favorite meal, ice cream, in spiritual practice, and so many other places. It's all around us, my friend. It's within every single one of us, and it's among us. And focusing on joy, how it manifests in our lives, experiencing joy tingling in ourselves. And I invite you to try that next time you meditate. See if you can feel cells tingling in your hands. It seems to spread joy to others. Just as unhappiness spreads. You know how when someone's in a bad mood around you, it's really easy to pick up that bad mood? Joy is the same way. Joy grows when we share it with others, when we feel it. So let's be part of a contagion of joy. Are you with me? The author and journalist Stephen Petro has a new book coming out this Tuesday, September 10th, entitled The Joy We Make. And it's based on his Washington Post article, Finding Joy in Difficult Times. And he says he wrote the book for himself. He said, I had a really terrible year. My parents died, both of them, within 100 days. My husband and I separated. And then my sister became ill with cancer. I started to implode and the world seemed very dark. And then I remembered a quote that went like, humans cannot live without joy. And what I learned was that joy was about connection with other people and that community and connection is the underpinning of joy. And when we have those elements in place, we're really primed to experience more joy in our lives. So he wrote this book. My friends, we have so much joy in this community, don't we? Yeah. We laugh together, we celebrate, we eat together. And of course, today we're going to share pizza and ice cream and our connections with one another after the service. And even though it's too hot outside, we know how to celebrate inside in air conditioning. And soon we'll be celebrating our annual auction, our Monster Mash Halloween Bash. And if you haven't bought your tickets, I invite you to do that. If you haven't donated anything, please do. It's going to be so much fun. I mean, how can we not be joyful when we all dress up in silly costumes and party like it's 1999? Focusing on joy within our religious community strengthens bonds and fosters a deeper sense of belonging. It makes us magnetic, doesn't it? Who wouldn't come? Who wouldn't want to come to a community where joy, not guilt or shame, is a core spiritual practice? Right? Amen? And in some traditions like Buddhism and Hinduism, the path of joy is considered a doorway to enlightenment. Practices such as meditation, devotion or bhakti, and selfless service, karma yoga, of which I know many of you participate. They're all pathways to experiencing lasting joy and bliss. And there's joy, too, in remembering our interconnectedness. Hinduism emphasizes the joy of being part of a vast cosmic order, symbolized by our beautiful twinkles here, connected to everything and everyone, just as we value interdependence in Unitarian Universalism. Author Ross Gay, in his book Inciting Joy, says, "What if joy is not only entangled with pain or suffering or sorrow, but it also emerges from how we care for each other through these things." And who here has been the grateful recipient of caring by somebody else in this community? That's pretty much all of us. So as we celebrate our ingathering, our coming together today as a loving community, let's lift up everything that brings us joy at Chalice. When Beth told our story, we got a chance to think about that. And I wanted to share with you that I find joy in the many extraordinary community members, all of you who freely give of your time, your energy, and gifts to our shared purpose and mission. And I find joy in the wide array of activities we offer, from creating justice in our world, to singing or playing ukuleles or dancing. Torkel, you bring joy every week to us. And to growing together in small groups and to nurturing our children and exploring spiritual practices together and so much more. There's something for everyone here each day of the week to connect, find belonging, and joy. So where do you find joy at Chalice? How is joy showing up in your life? And if you can't find it easily, how might you bring more joy into your life in the day-to-day? I invite you to explore these questions this month and be proactive about creating and uncovering more joy in your lives and share it with each other, because we can all learn from each other. I'm reminded of the wonderful song, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away, right? We're going to sing that together in a moment. But it's a good reminder that ultimately, we're all responsible for creating our own joy, no matter what the circumstances. And no one can take that away from us. May it be so. So now, my dear friends, as is traditional at our in-gathering service, we participate in a sacred water ceremony, and we've got a new ceremony for this year for you. Today's ritual is designed to remind us of the power of community and shared joy. Now, water sustains all living things. It shapes our landscapes and reminds us of the interconnectedness of all. In fact, our planet is covered by 70% water. And our bodies are made up of around 70% water. Water quenches our thirst, cleanses, sustains, and nourishes us. And living in California, we're especially aware of the preciousness of water and how our earth and plants need it to survive. In fact, I need a sip right now. Torkel inspired me. This water we've collected here in this jar in front of us came from all of you during our Earth Day service this past April. You brought it from sources sacred to you, like our ocean, rivers, creeks, lakes, ponds, our sanctuary next door, and our homes. And then we boiled the water to ensure its purity, and then we put it in this jar with the words joy, love, and gratitude on it. And it's been marinating in those words for the last 4 or 5 months. And for those of you who are here with us at the Earth Day service, we learned how water molecules transform through the energy we put into them. And every one of us blessed the water with good wishes as we mingled our water sources. And we see a slide up there. You may remember how Japanese scientist Masaru Emoto performed experiments on the molecular shape of water after it was sent positive or negative thoughts. And he demonstrated that you can literally change the molecular structure of water depending on the thoughts you think about it. When you offer gratitude, joy, and love to water, it turns into beautiful crystals. Look at those. Thank you, wisdom, truth, eternal. They're so beautiful. I love you. When you say unkind things to water, like you fool, or you make me sick, or evil, you pollute it, or you play heavy metal music to it. The molecules become more chaotic and lack shape. So just think about, if we're 70% water, what we say to each other changes the molecular shape of the water in our bodies. So it's important to treat each other with kindness and love. So this water has been infused with the energies of joy, love, and gratitude for a while now. And one by one, we're going to come forward and place a little of this sacred water that came from our community into small glass vials, just like you see here. They'll be up there. The water symbolizes our flowing faith, our community's interconnectedness, and the joy, love, and gratitude that weaves us together and sustains our lives. So I invite you to place it somewhere special in your home to remind you, or in your college dorm room, to remind you of this community's love and our collective joy. And if you're online and would like a little of this water, please come by Chalice or ask our administrator, Anna, to send you some. And if you're in one of the overflow rooms, please join us in here for this ceremony. So in a moment, we're going to bless this water and then pour it into our two blue bowls, and they'll be at the same sand tray stations. And we then invite you to form two lines at those stations. I'd like to start with a choir on that bowl, and if the rest of you could come towards this bowl and then fill in whenever there's space. The vials have smiley faces on top to remind us of the joy that we shared here together. And when we filled our jars, we will sing our closing song, "This Joy That I Have." So I now wish to bless this water. We bless this water as a symbol of our community's love and joy. May this love and joy go home with you and remind you always that you belong in a place filled with love and joy.